This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
I hope you're more awake than I am this morning. Had a 4:45 drop off to do as I dropped my daughter off for her French trip at Horsforth High this morning. Couldn't sleep before because I didn't think I'd wake up in time to take her, and then couldn't sleep after because I was thinking about the talk. So just bear with me if I'm a little bit slow. Okay, so today I want to continue our series on prayer, and I want to talk to you about God on mute. When we feel God never answers our prayers, when he's not, he just appears to be silent. A few weeks ago, I explored why perseverance in prayer is really important as we wait answers and endure sometimes painful delays. And that the purpose of the delays may be for us to grow in intimacy with the Father and trust in his overall will and purposes for our lives. We looked at Mark 14, verse 36. In the face of extreme suffering, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prays, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." That even Jesus wasn't spared suffering. This week, I want to look at prayer from the perspective of God's silence. This can be over small concerns of ours or even deep expectancy of release from suffering or for the miraculous breakthrough in our lives. Whatever we pray for, we pray because we believe God answers. And when he doesn't, we really want to understand why. One of my long-standing verses in the Bible is Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. If you turn to it with me now. If you haven't got a Bible, the words will be on the screen. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. I love the song that Mike and Zoe sang there about trust, just wait in God, rest in his presence. You know, it's just so in line with what I'm talking about today. So Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. These are my favourites because I've frequently come through experiences in my life when God seemed inexplicably silent, and I'm sure you've had those times too. There have been harms done to me, losses, bereavements, jobs that folded, financial difficulties, and each time I've faced the silence and the lack of intervention of God, I've come back to those verses. If I do not trust God, then I've lost sight of who he is and of who I am. And the stark realization that if I abandon my faith in God, then I literally have nothing. After my first husband and I split up, I found the church I was in then unhelpful and lacking in understanding of the situation. In the face of God's silence, rejected, abandoned, with a small baby and unable to support myself, it was easy to believe that God had somehow become displeased with me and he was withholding his blessing on my life. This was a lie I was wrestling with and something the church did nothing but to confirm. And maybe you've been through something similar in your life. As a result, I let go of God because I found it was easier to believe he was a cruel, punishing God with no power rather than that this was his will for my life and his purposes for me. I would have traded that intimacy and growth for being able to stay in a family unit. I couldn't believe that he desired me to be abandoned, isolated, and judged by others. In refusing to listen to God, choosing not to follow his moral compass, ignoring biblical wisdom, my life initially seemed to be simpler and easier to manipulate. However, it wasn't long before the threads of my life fast unraveled and I found myself in situations that I should never have been in. With each circumstance, I would spin and spiral into something worse, and worst of all, found a silence that I believed to be an absence of God in my life. It was desolate. It was without hope, and very dark. And I remember, despite all my anger and brokenness, I did actually never stop praying. And I would cry out to God for rescue. I was constantly praying and often felt if God were present, he must absolutely be deaf. But after a time, God did find me and answer me in that place. And the verses I came to rest on were these. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Sometimes I have to pinch myself to believe what my life has become in his hands and how much he's healed and restored. I'm still learning what it is to live totally surrendered and dependent on him. Often I don't understand the way ahead seems hidden, but I've made a pact with God. Whatever comes my way, I will not turn away, and I will choose to trust and wait on him, because it's in his understanding of my life that is important and not what I can humanly influence or control. But as I look back and reflect on the silent times and the times when I felt my life was in free fall, I'm reminded of an eagle mother perched on the highest cliffs, pushing her unwilling babes out of the nest, over the edge, to plummet unprotected onto the rocks below. But the mother eagle then expertly takes flight to fly beneath her spiraling babe to catch them. She will do this several times a day, and as the eagle begins to grow in trust and boldness, it finds its own wings and develops the strength to soar at great heights. I believe unanswered prayer is like that at times. It can feel like God is trying to take us to the brink of fear, despair, and inexplicable pain, and all we can see is the hard ground hurtling towards us. But I think it's important we remember that these nests are found in the highest tiny crevices, the highest precipices, and sometimes this means the babes fall by their own misjudgment or due to predators trying to consume them. In these cases, the mothers will take flight to rescue their babes on the wing, even though this was not a scheduled flying lesson. Likewise, not all that comes our way is necessarily designed or willed by God. Sometimes our circumstances are dictated because we're humans living on an earth with all its decay and disorder and subject to others' free will. Other times it could be because we have a spiritual enemy set on disrupting our faith and trusting God because he sees that we are dangerous in God's possession. Therefore, when we're looking at unanswered prayer, we need to consider and discern why God appears silent. Is it because where we live on an earth subject to sin, sickness, weakness, and others' free will? Or is it due to God teaching us to look for him, to wait for him, to trust in him as we grow in faith? Or have we been sideswiped by an unseen enemy trying to get us to move away from following Jesus? Only God can know that in its fullness. But what we can trust in is God. He is faithful and he has a good nature towards us. And he is all powerful and he has the ability to intervene for us, to sustain us until we are strong enough to fly again. I'm going to unapologetically refer to Pete Gregg and his book, God on Mute. This is a church copy, and if you want to borrow it, please see me. Pete's wife suffered an enormous brain tumour, which although was removed, was left with persistent and frightening epileptic fits. Pete Gregg is the champion and the forerunner of the 24/7 prayer movement and found God's lack of intervention and healing of his wife difficult to understand. Pete had seen miracles and he had heard of more. And he was so convinced of the power of prayer that he had spent his life encouraging others to pray more. And then he found himself trying to understand where God's voice was during all the suffering and he still suffers now, and his family still suffers now as she continues to have regular fits. In Pete's quest for answers from God and to understand his wife's suffering, he came up with the following insights. It is God's world, and it's about God's will, and it is God's war. So when we think about God's world, we need to think in common sense terms. Some prayers are not of such huge consequence or significance. For instance, how many of you have prayed for a train to be late? Any of you prayed for a bus to be late? So you can get there on time? Yeah, seen some nods. Maybe you've prayed for a petrol station to appear because you've forgotten to fill up with fuel. Though God may answer our prayer, it's more likely we will have to suffer the inconvenience of not having the common sense to have been prepared. I wonder how many of you on Tuesday evening were praying fervently for England to win. Come on, fess up. Yeah, hands up. I know I was. Okay, maybe you were praying for Walker to defend better, or for Harry Kane, to get a goal in. Our expectations and hopes were high for Southgate and his team, but I can guarantee there will have been at least the same number of Croatians praying for the Croatian team. Who does God listen to? Surely he would favour this team from the Brazilian Champions League.
Que a figueira não floresça, que não haja fruto na vide, que o produto da oliveira vinda, todavia me alegrarei, todavia me alegrarei, todavia me alegrarei. Mas a alegria, ela vem pela manhã. Eu creio, choro dura uma noite, mas a alegria, ela vem pela manhã. Eu creio, ainda que a figueira não. E não haja fruto da vide, e o produto da oliveira vinda, todavia me alegrarei, todavia me alegrarei, todavia me alegrarei.
So, a team that worships before every game and praises Jesus, surely this team won't lose matches. But a rough translation of what they're singing is, I will rejoice in you whatever comes. Is that the type of trusting people we are? That whatever the outcomes, we will trust in him. We are well advised not to put our faith in sporting outcomes or praying for the sun for a barbecue, when in a world of 6 million people, someone is likely to be praying the direct opposite of us. Pete Gregg calls these prayers, prayers of contradiction, where someone is almost certainly praying in a different outcome for a different outcome to us. It's not that we shouldn't pray about these things. We can ask our Father for anything, and he delights in us asking, but we shouldn't set positive answers as evidence of God listening to our prayers. Also, in God's world, it's the laws of nature. It has been a blessing to have such long periods of sunshine, I think we'll all agree, and we have mostly been thankful for it. But we have only to look at the yellow fields to know that our landscape is changing for the lack of rain. We read in the Bible that God was able to miraculously calm storms and send rain, but this does not mean that every time we pray for a storm to stop or rain to go away, that God would work a miracle at our request. To do so would have devastating consequences for the planet and the climate. Only God can sustain the world in balance to the laws of nature, and we must trust him with the weather patterns we experience. In addition to this, it is God's world and life is tough. And as much as we would like to live lives free of suffering, tragedy and disappointment, we live in a fallen world. We are subject to sickness, fatality and injury from others as they exercise their free will. Jesus promises us in John 16:33, you will have trouble. I don't know about you, but this isn't a verse I plan to get printed on my t-shirt anytime soon. But it is there, and maybe when we ask, why me, we could as easily ask, why not me? Would we wish our suffering on someone else? Or are we wanting to be like Jesus, willing to endure the suffering to save others from it? Sometimes our understanding and expectations of God are just wrong. And so we find our prayers not answered the way we think they should be. If we believe that as followers of Jesus, we are entitled to unlimited blessing and no suffering, we will be bitterly disappointed, as this isn't what the Bible teaches us. And we have an unrealistic expectation of following Jesus. So our doctrine needs to be in line with what the Bible teaches. And for this reason, we eagerly await heaven, where there are no tears or mourning. In the fullness of God's kingdom, we will be eternally grateful for the presence of Jesus and the destruction of all that hurts and threatens us. So then we come to God's will. As the focus of my last talk was about God's will in terms of his best for us, our motives in praying and God's invitation to relationship in prayer, I won't dwell on that now. But if you missed it, you can catch up on the podcast on the website. But in context of God's will, we do need to remember that he has given a gift of free will. So if our prayers are about changing a person or getting a person to do something, then unless that person chooses to do it, our prayers will be fruitless. For instance, we might be praying for a loved one to come and know Jesus and follow him. But unless they choose to, God isn't going to make them do it. So we need to pray creatively and ask God to send Christians to speak to them, to stumble across literature that will create a hunger to know God, to see films that stir an interest. And as I was writing this, I was reminded of God looking out at the harvest and seeing so many people to know who didn't know, where he said they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And he didn't say, pray that they will come to know me. He said, pray for the laborers. For the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And maybe we need to just swing our prayers around a little. Also, in God's will, it's his influence. As God moves through influence because of relationship, sometimes our prayers may seem a long time being answered. Anyone who's a teacher or a parent here knows that we can get quick obedience through the exertion of power over our children, through intimidation and threats. But we will only see lasting change through our relationship with those children as we influence their understanding and values. It takes more time, but it is more effective. And it's the same with God. Over time, as we grow in trust and relationship with him, we allow him to gently change us and restore us. And lastly, it's God's war. We do need to recognize we do have a spiritual enemy, and often the misery and lack of answers to prayer are as a direct satanic attack. However, we don't need to be afraid, as he has already lost the war. But we do need to be informed on how to protect ourselves against this enemy and limit the influence he can have on us and our families. Pete Sammons did a great job of this last week, and if you missed his talk, go to the website and listen to that podcast. Alternatively, I encourage you to read God on Mute, where Pete Gregg explores God's war more fully. If you are in a growth group that have been covering the prayer course, I really recommend that you follow that up with making a decision to all read this book, because Pete includes some real discussion points, really good discussion points at the back for small groups. And if you are somebody who's particularly wrestling with unanswered prayer, I've taken one of his appendices from the book and put it in a little leaflet form. And I encourage you to just pick one of those up as you leave today. Having read it and used it, I've changed a lot of the ways I'm praying for things as I've come to understand that maybe my prayers aren't in line with God's world, God's will, God's war. So in understanding God's silence, we need to trust him. Ultimately, there are many things about our lives that we just cannot fully understand. We've wrestled with God, we've petitioned, we've persevered, we've interceded, prayed with others, cried out, worshipped, fasted, repented, and engaged in spiritual warfare, and all to no avail. And it's in this place we're invited to fall from the comfort of our nests as we choose to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and not to lean on our own understanding. We choose to acknowledge him in all our circumstances. We are confident that ultimately he will make our path straight and will lead us to safety as we learn to be carried on the back of his wings. And each time we feel like God is trying to take us to the brink of fear, despair, or inexplicable pain, and all we can see is the hard, merciless ground hurtling towards us, we know our faith has been strengthened, and each time we will fly a little further before crying out for rescue. Vulnerability, honesty, authenticity are essential to learn to trust God with the outcomes of our prayers. We don't pretend we're okay. We don't pretend that we're not affected by suffering. And we don't pretend that we're invincible or impenetrable to pain. We take all our woundedness, our anger, our frustration to a loving Father who has known such pain through the cross, and we allow him to sustain us. So let's put our trust in him. Okay, let's stand. And let's just wait and see what God wants to do. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you love us and you mourn with us and you weep with us and you wait with us. But you lead us and you carry us. Just sense that God is just resting. I can see he's resting on a number of you, and he's just come in with his peace. That he just wants to lift a striving off some of you where it's felt like prayer is effort and prayer is hard work. And he just wants you to wait with him.